The one who answers when we don't pray. My name is Aviva Richman, and I'm on the faculty at Mechon Hadar. There is something about the Misha Ana prayer of Slichot that has bothered me in recent years. I used to think of this part of Slichot as a relatively straightforward list poem. The structure seemed elementary and kind of boring. May the one who answered X person in Y place also answer us. In my mind, I conflated all of the specific examples as the same thing. A person saying, God save me, and God then answering the prayer through an act of intervention and salvation. It felt both redundant in terms of literary structure and also simplistic in terms of theology. But a few years ago, when I came across a Yiddish tchina, a woman's prayer from early modern Europe, that is a riff on this piece of liturgy, I began to pay more attention and see the prayer differently, especially the first two lines. Misha ana l'Avraham avinu b'har ha-Moriah hu ya'anenu. Misha ana l'Yitzchak beno kishene'ekar al gabei ha-mizbeach hu ya'anenu. The one who answered, Misha ana, Avraham, our father, on Mount Moriah, may he answer us. The one who answered Yitzchak, his son, when he was bound on the altar, may he answer us. Both of these lines discuss the same event, the Akedah, the binding of Isaac at Mount Moriah. The Akedah is a central motif of the High Holidays. We read the biblical narrative on the second day of Rosh Hashanah, and we refer to the Akedah multiple times in High Holiday liturgy. The Misha Ana prayer approaches the binding of Isaac from two perspectives. In the first line, we invoke God answering Abraham, and in the next line, we invoke God answering Isaac. Yet, in the text of the Torah itself, neither father nor son turns to God, such that their quote-unquote prayer could be answered. Whatever God responded to, it was not articulated. Neither Abraham nor Isaac on Mount Moriah, in a foxhole, if there ever was one, utters a word of prayer. The Isaac line works neatly enough with the rest of the text. His life was in danger, and God saved him by preventing Abraham from slaughtering him. Isaac's prayer seems pretty obvious, even if not articulated. It would have been, "Save me." But Abraham's life was not in danger on Mount Moriah. He couldn't have prayed, "Save me." So what exactly was his plea? And in what way did God answer him? We can only try to guess at Abraham's unspoken prayer. Maybe it was, "Save my son." But that would be a complicated request, given the context, that is, given God's command to Abraham to sacrifice his son. Did he pray, "Save my son from me?" Or, "Save my son from you?" Or even, "Save me from my worst nightmare, but what I think you are commanding me to do." It is hard to imagine Abraham turning to God in prayer in this moment. In some of the reception history of this piece of liturgy, the question of Abraham's prayer at Mount Moriah, and indeed his entire role in the binding of Isaac, is totally sidelined. What shocked me a number of years ago was to find that in the Trina of the Three Gates, an early modern Yiddish prayer for Yom Kippur by Sarah Bastovim, it invokes ancestors in a similar way to Misha Ana, but there, Abraham is not associated with the binding of Isaac at all. Instead, the prayer invokes God who saved Abraham from Nimrod's furnace, referring to the story of Abraham smashing his father's idols, as found in Genesis Rabbah. This fits the pattern of salvation in a more straightforward way. That was a moment when Abraham's life was in danger, and God saved his life by rescuing him from the furnace. However, the Talmud Yerushalmi stands by the idea that God answered Abraham at Mount Moriah and tackles the problem of Abraham's prayer head on. It begins by noting an incongruity in the earliest version of the Misha Ana prayer. The Misha Ana prayer originated with liturgy that was added for fast days, called in times of drought, and is recorded in the Mishnah, Ta'anit, chapter 2, Mishnah 4. There, the Mishnah states, Al harishonah hu omer, Misha Ana et Avraham avinu b'har ha-Moriah, Huyana etchem, vishma bukol tzakatchem, beyom hazeh, baruch atah Hashem, goel Yisrael. To conclude the first additional blessing for a fast day, one says, the one who answered our father Abraham on Mount Moriah, may he answer you and listen to the sound of your cries on this day. Blessed are you, God, who redeems Israel. According to this Mishnah, the conclusion of the first additional blessing should refer to the first instance in Jewish history of God's salvation, when God answered Abraham at the Akedah and saved Isaac. Yet, the final words of this blessing invoke God as the Redeemer of Israel. On this formulation, the Yerushalmi, the Talmud from the land of Israel, asks, but wasn't Isaac, not Israel, redeemed? It responds, once Isaac was redeemed, it was as though all of Israel was redeemed. This leap from Isaac's salvation to the salvation of the entire Jewish people becomes the pretext for filling in the silence of Abraham's prayer. The Yerushalmi goes on to tell us what Abraham's prayer was. Abraham said before the Holy Blessed One, Master of the universes, it is revealed and known to you that at the time you told me to offer my son Isaac, I had what to respond. I could have said to you, yesterday, you told me, through Isaac your name will be established through descendants. Ki bi Yitzchak yikare lechazara. And now you are telling me, offer him there as a sacrifice? Va'alehu sham le'olah? God forbid, I did not do this. Rather, I subdued my urge, and I did your will. So may it be your will, Hashem, my God, that in times when my son Isaac's descendants enter crisis and have no one to bring proof in their defense, you will bring proof in their defense. It then quotes a phrase associated with the binding of Isaac, Hashem will show. You will remember the binding of Isaac, their father, and be filled with mercy upon them. Hashem Yera'eh. Abraham's prayer was not, save me, nor was it, save my son. His central concern was not the promise about the flourishing of his immediate descendants. The Yerushalmi's continuation emphasizes that Abraham took a much broader vision. What does it say after that? Continues the Yerushalmi. Abraham lifted his eyes and saw, behold, a ram after, achar, was caught in the thicket. What does after mean? Asks the Yerushalmi. Rabbi Yehuda, son of Rabbi Simon, said, after all the generations. In the future, your descendants will be caught up in sins and embroiled in troubles, but ultimately they will be redeemed by the horns of this ram. As it says in the book of Zechariah, Hashem, God, will blow the shofar and come in the storms of Yemen. In a moment of prayer, Abraham lifted his eyes from the tunnel vision of the crisis at hand and was able to see with greater perspective. Rather than being paralyzed with no good path forward in the present moment, he wondered what would become of the descendants of his descendants, generations down the line. Realizing that even if he could get out of the present crisis and save his son, there would always be a future crisis. Abraham thus concerned himself with how to ensure that future generations would be governed by compassion. His prayer, and the prayer we now echo in Slichot, was essentially a call for compassion. Abraham's prayer of compassion for future generations is a bit of a paradox, though, because it would have no legs if Isaac had died on the altar. If the unspoken prayer, save my son, were not answered, then the spoken prayer, at least the Yerushalmi's invented spoken prayer, quote, be compassionate on my son's future descendants, would be entirely incoherent and irrelevant. In this version of Misha Anna, we invoke God who responded to both spoken and unspoken prayers. What I find so powerful about the opening of Misha Anna is the vacuum of prayer in the wake of God's response. It is ostensibly a prayer about our prayers being answered, but the first example is one where it seems like no prayer was said. When we stand in prayer during the high holidays, it might be that the prayers we really need answered are the ones we don't say. Whether we can't or we won't, maybe because it is impossible to fathom how to say the prayer we want to say to a God who can seem so unfathomable. What we learn from the Yerushalmi's attempt to fill the gap of Abraham's prayer is that sometimes the most obvious prayer, save me, or save my child, is not the real prayer. Real prayer is moving beyond ourselves in order to change the world around us and nothing less than the course of history, to be ruled by compassion. When we recite the list of God's responses to biblical ancestors in times of crisis in the Misha Ana prayer, we are not reaching for a model where an individual expresses a specific prayer and God immediately responds. We are turning to and invoking a paradigm of compassion. Whether or not we are able to articulate our own specific prayer, it is only in this move towards an emanating and enduring compassion that we might also find our own prayers answered. Shana Tova.